All right, get ready, because today we're diving into a legal case that really makes you think about the promises you make, especially when you're dealing with the press. It's Cohen v. Cowles Media. And we're not just going to skim the surface, we're going deep on this one.
You know, what's so fascinating about Cohen v. Cowles Media is that it pits two fundamental principles against each other. Freedom of the press, which we all value, and the basic idea of keeping your word. Like, how do those two things coexist?
Okay, so set the scene for us.
All right. It's 1982. We're in Minnesota. There's a tight race for governor going on.
Always a tight race in Minnesota, right?
Seems like it. So we've got this guy, Dan Cohen, working for the Republican campaign.
Yeah.
And he gets his hands on some court records, pretty damaging stuff that could really hurt the opposing candidate for Lieutenant Governor Marlene Johnson. She's representing the Democratic Farmer Labor Party.
The DFL.
Yeah, the DFL, as they call them in Minnesota.
So what kind of dirt did Cohen have on this Johnson lady?
Well, we don't know the exact details of the records, but it must have been serious.
Yeah.
Because Cohen knew this information could really shake things up, and he wanted to protect himself. So he goes to reporters from two big newspapers, the Minneapolis Star and Tribune and the St. Paul Pioneer Press Dispatch.
Wow, he went straight to the top.
He did, but he had one condition.
Uh-oh, here it comes.
He would only give him the info if they promised complete anonymity.
Anonymity, so like, don't tell anyone I'm your source.
Exactly, and this wasn't some casual off-the-record conversation. We're talking formal agreements, in writing, promising to keep Cohen's name under wraps. They really wanted that scoop.
Sounds like a classic case of wanting to have your cake and eat it too.
Well, that's exactly what happened. The newspapers, they published the story, put the information about Johnson out there for everyone to see. They revealed Cohen as the source.
No way. Seriously?
Yeah. They basically threw him under the bus, their reasoning.
Let me guess. They said it was for context.
You got it. They claimed that revealing his identity, his political ties, all of that was crucial for readers to understand the story.
So they hung him out to dry to make the reporting look more credible.
Pretty much. Cohen was understandably furious. I mean, talk about a breach of trust. And to top it off, he got fired from his job because of all this.
Wow, that's rough.
Oh, yeah. The fallout was huge. So what does Cohen do? He sues, of course, both papers for breach of contract and fraudulent misrepresentation, and the jury. They loved Cohen's side of the story. They awarded him a whopping $200,000 in compensatory damages.
Whoa, $200,000. They must have been pretty convinced he got a raw deal.
They were, and they didn't stop there. They tacked on even more in punitive damages.
Ouch. So the newspapers got hit hard.
Yeah, but it didn't end there. Of course, there were appeals. The case went up to the appeals court. They upheld the contract violation part, but they reduced the punitive damages a bit. Then it went all the way to the Minnesota Supreme Court. And this is where things get really interesting.
Oh boy, what happened?
The Minnesota Supreme Court says enforcing the promise of confidentiality would actually violate the newspaper's First Amendment rights.
Wait, hold on. So the court was saying the newspapers could break a promise and get away with it because of freedom of the press.
It did seem like a pretty big deal. The case raised this huge question. Can a state's contract law even be enforced against the press if it might limit what they can publish?
Yeah, that seems like a tricky situation. You've got freedom of the press on one hand, and then the whole idea of honoring contracts on the other.
Mm-hmm.
So what happened next? Did it just end there with the Minnesota Supreme Court?
Oh, no, this case wasn't done yet. It went all the way to the top.
The Supreme Court.
Yep. Supreme Court of the United States. That's mm-hmm. right, the big leagues. Everyone was watching because this had the potential to change how media law worked. You know, for everyone.
So much pressure.
Yeah.
So did the Supreme Court side with the newspapers or with Cohen?
Well, get this. The majority opinion, it was written by Justice Byron White.
Okay.
They actually ruled in favor of Cohen.
Wow. So they sided with the guy who got his name leaked.
Yep. The press is not above the law, they said.
Interesting.
Breaking a promise. It's breaking a promise. It doesn't matter if you're a journalist or anyone else. And there's this legal principle called promissory estoppel, and it basically says you can't just back out of a promise if someone relied on that promise, you know, and it hurt them.
Makes sense.
And that principle, it applies to everyone, even the press.
So they were saying freedom of the press doesn't mean you can just break promises whenever you want, even if you think it's like for the public good or something.
Exactly. Justice White even wrote, I'm paraphrasing here, but he said the First Amendment doesn't give the press a special right to just ignore promises because they're in the news business.
Wow. I bet that caused quite a stir.
Yeah.
What was the reaction like when the ruling came out?
It was huge. Newsrooms all over the country were worried. They thought this would make people less likely to come forward as sources, you know, especially if they had sensitive information.
Yeah. I mean, who would want to risk their job or their reputation like Cohen did?
Right. And it really put pressure on news organizations to rethink how they handle confidential sources, like their whole policies.
But what about, I mean, sometimes the public does have a right to know who's giving information to the press, right?
Right.
Like, especially in politics.
That was the argument from the other side.
Yeah.
The dissenting opinions in this case, they were written by Justices Blackmun and Souter.
Okay.
And they thought the majority opinion didn't give enough weight to the value of the information Cohen gave.
Like, they thought it was important for people to know what was going on.
Right. They said voters have a right to know about all the behind-the-scenes stuff in politics, and that context is important for understanding the whole story.
So they were worried about transparency and accountability.
Exactly. They were also concerned that this ruling would hurt investigative journalism.
Yeah, because a lot of big stories, like Watergate, they rely on confidential sources, people who would only talk if they knew their name wouldn't be revealed.
And Justice Souter, he actually suggested a balancing test.
A balancing test.
Yeah. He said courts should weigh the state's interest in making sure promises are kept against how important the information is that's being revealed.
So, like, sometimes the public's need to know might outweigh the need to protect a source.
Right. Especially if the information is really, really important. But where do you draw that line? That's the tough question.
Like, what if Cohen had leaked classified documents? Or what if people's lives were in danger?
Those are great questions, and that's what makes this case so interesting. It didn't give us all the answers, but it forced everyone to think about the complexities of freedom of the press and, like, the responsibility that comes with it.
Yeah, it's definitely not a simple issue.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it's definitely complicated.
Yeah.
And it had a real impact, right? Not just theory.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Cohen v. Cowles Media changed how journalism works, you know, on a practical level. It made it clear that those confidentiality agreements, they're legally binding.
Like, you can't just break them because you're chasing a big story. It raised the stakes for journalists. They couldn't rely on just ethical guidelines anymore, right?
Exactly. They had to start thinking more like lawyers, you know, weighing the legal consequences, not just the ethical ones.
And newsrooms, I bet they had to change how they did things.
They did. Putting more formal procedures in place for dealing with sources, making sure everyone understood the risks.
It must have been a big moment for media lawyers, too. I bet they were paying close attention to this case.
Absolutely. Cohen v. Cowles Media became a landmark case for them. It really emphasized that the press isn't above the law, you know? They have to follow contracts just like everyone else.
So for media law, it's huge. But what about the rest of us? Like, what can we learn from this as lawyers?
Well, it really underscores something fundamental to our whole legal system. Your word matters.
The basic but important.
Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's a formal contract or, like, a casual agreement. That expectation of honesty and trustworthiness, that's the foundation of everything we do, right? It's the basis of any legal system, any business deal, any relationship.
So even though this was about journalists, the lesson is broader. Keep your promises.
Exactly. And make sure those promises are clear. Like, when you're making agreements with clients or anyone, you have to be explicit about what you're agreeing to. Put it in writing whenever you can. It'll save you a lot of trouble down the line.
That's good advice for everyone, not just lawyers. Well, we started with a political campaign in Minnesota, and somehow we ended up at the Supreme Court, all because of a broken promise.
Yeah, it's a wild case.
It makes you think about those big questions. Freedom of the press, the public's right to know, and just basic honesty.
And those questions are still relevant today, maybe even more so now than ever before, you know, with all the changes in media and information.
It's not easy figuring out where the lines are. Like, how do you balance the need for information with protecting your sources?
Yeah, those are the tough calls.
But Cohen v. Cowles Media gives us something to think about, a way to approach those questions. So next time you're making a promise, no matter how big or small, remember this case. Remember that your word has power. It matters legally, and it matters ethically.
Good advice.
That's it for our deep dive today. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.